This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were very fortunate to have the winner of the best gag at the Edinburgh Fringe.
Yes.
He's a football fan as well, Olaf Falafel.
And people here at TalkSport had a go at it, and we played it to him, so you'll hear that.
Yeah, they tried his gag.
We had a chat about the weekend.
We started off talking
a bit of football. We talked a bit of cricket. We talked a bit of mad stuff.
And Tony Pulis.
Tony Pulis features quite heavily.
He went to a special birthday party in France.
That's good. And
here it all is.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Oh, good afternoon, Paul. And yes, I was there yesterday for...
You were indeed.
...Frank Lampard's first game. Well, we've got a point. Only 39 needed now for safety.
Yeah. He seemed to play quite well from what I saw.
Look, you know, it's going to take time. I can't believe some of the reporting and some of the headlines, honestly. I mean, I expected it to be difficult. I expected a lot of pressure, but some of it... I mean, one match reporter said, 7 minutes of euphoria, 83 minutes of reality. It might be the worst analysis of a football match I've ever seen. I mean, they played better than 7 minutes. Mm. They could have been three up. It was like last week. They could have been out of sight, but then by the end of the game, it could have been 3-4-1 to Leicester.
Yeah, I know. They came on strong at the end. And there were some key moments at the weekend. The Danny Ings miss against Liverpool. Big moments over the weekend. Kante had a good chance, didn't he, for you?
Yeah, very good. So did Mount again. And
Tottenham peppered City's goal. Really, he should have won that game, I thought. That was my reading of it.
Yeah, exactly. Look, that was a good point for Tottenham. But, I mean, we're going to talk a lot about the handball. I mean, it's pathetic. I mean, that was nothing to do with VAR. That's just the rule change is absolutely stupid.
Law 12, is it?
Well, it's absolutely stupid. You can't have a situation where in football, if one person does it, it's handball. If the other person does it, it isn't.
Yeah.
You just can't have that. That's just,
Ellery's Law, is it? No.
What a nonsense, really.
What are you going to say then?
Yeah, well.
Keep going.
He's not my favourite. And there were people sort of around me sort of saying, I'll be happy if we stay up and everything. But I think.
Lampard out?
No. You've got to be realistic. You know, the transfer ban is a killer. It's an absolute killer because it's not like Spurs. Spurs didn't buy for 2 years, but they already had a good 11. They had a world-class striker.
Hmm.
When you've got holes in your squad, what you do, like Arsenal have done, they've addressed the problems they needed. They needed somebody to replace Ramsey. They needed a defender. They already had Aubameyang and Lacazette, and they needed some pace, so they got Pepe.
Yeah.
That's what you do in a transfer window. When you can't do that, all the problems that you had are just magnified, especially if your two best young players aren't there. I think to sort of put pressure on Lampard at this stage is ridiculous. It is actually ridiculous.
To make it worse, of course, as well, is the fact that the player that's kind of inadvertently been the cause of all this, Traore, is not there to play for you, is he?
Complete waste of time. I mean, absolutely. And also, you know, somebody like Azpilicueta, who's been a brilliant player in the Premier League, brilliant defender. But, you know, we noticed signs last year that, you know, he was starting to make a few mistakes. And this year he's given away 3 goals. And, you know, that's a problem. If he were able to buy a right back, you know, that can cross the ball.
Yeah.
Then, you know, then his position might be under threat. Maybe he'd look at it differently. Maybe he'd have a chance to rest a bit. I don't know. Maybe that would help him. But at the moment, we're having to play him. Reece James is the only... Zappacosta isn't good enough. James will be a good player, but, you know, he's another youngster.
Yeah.
I mean, Alan Brazil this morning...
I think he could do a job for you.
Well, he could be...
He's on it. I mean, he's out of contract.
I don't think he's much slower than Giroud. But the thing is, he talked about...
I'm sorry, Frank, my back. My Achilles, my back.
He talked about Willian coming on and, you know... As a fellow professional, he knew exactly what was going on there. Mm. Sky described him as rusty. I'd say sulking and spoilt.
Okay.
And, you know, obviously he's not happy that his mate has been sold. They have a restaurant together, him and David Luiz.
Right.
And
he's only across London. They haven't got to go far. At the menu.
I just think that he wants out. You know, it's clear that performance, he wants out. So, if you know, although Chelsea can't afford to, in the next couple of weeks, I'd be thinking about it because that
you'd let Willian go at the moment when you're.
And if he's going to play like that, if he's going to sulk, if he's going to come on and be absolutely pathetic, I mean, he was I can't describe it other than a disgrace. I watched him really carefully. I thought, that's a disgrace what you're doing there. The way you're playing, that's ridiculous. You've come on and played like this. I don't know whether he was sulking because he didn't start or what the situation was. I mean, he came in saying he wanted the number 10 shirt. He made a big thing out of it. Well, you know, show us what you got, mate, because that isn't good enough.
Well, I did think of you this weekend. I was gutted on your behalf because you missed out on Rear of the Year again.
Oh, disappointing.
Andy Murray won it.
Did he?
I mean, some people would say Rear of the Year is just an excuse to get fairly pointless publicity.
Yeah.
But not me.
No, not you.
But, I mean, Andy Murray, I wonder how he puts it in perspective. He's had quite a troubled year, hasn't he, really, in terms of fitness?
Yeah.
So to win Rear of the Year must be an absolute joy for him.
Well,
Amanda Holden won the Women's Award.
I think she's won it before, hasn't she?
She was. She topped the poll, apparently, ahead of Holly Willoughby, Rachel Riley, the Duchess of Sussex and Carol Vorderman.
No place for Gemma Collins, then. That's a surprise.
Well, that's a cheap shot, Andy. And you're above that, I'd like to think.
But there we are.
And what about Reading? Have you seen the lineup in the Reading team?
Oh, yeah. It's what I said to you, Puskas.
No, not just Puskas. Pele and Moore.
Tremendous.
Three. Fantastic. That's Liam Moore and Pele. But, yeah, George Puskas. Three. What players they've got.
Well, what a team they'd have if they were the originals. Talking to Andy Murray, he said he loves classical music now. He said, thanks to his wife, Kim loves classical music, and it's always on. There's one song I particularly like, Time to Say Goodbye. Is that a classical song?
I don't know. I wouldn't have thought. I need a bit more meat on the bones. Time to say goodbye. Is it opera? Is it?
Is it light opera?
Is it operetta? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know.
To say goodbye. It's one that Andrea Bocelli likes to sing. It's one of his. And is it from a musical? It was first performed by Andrea Bocelli at the 1995 San Remo Music Festival. Yeah. So you've got chapter and verse on it. So we'll play it. We'll play a bit later, shall we? Don't bother. Thanks.
And amongst the because we're still in the summer, even though the football season started, so there's still these mad events taking place. Yesterday was the Lamb National. This is a race for sheep. Look at them going over the jumps. I did wonder whether it was won by Red Ram, but it doesn't
That's good.
Say.
Thank That's you nice, much. Yeah. Well, thanks for all your messages. I know Andy mentioned last week why I was off. My old mum had a fall. I have to keep an eye on Andy these days in case he has a fall. She didn't fall over. She had a fall and she broke her hip. So she's getting there slowly but surely.
Yeah.
But it's been a fraught few days.
Of course.
God bless the National Health Service, I must say. From the moment she was kind of picked up by an ambulance at sort of 3:30 in the morning to all the treatment she's had, it's creaking at the seams. But they do an amazing job.
They do.
So thanks
Absolutely.
To all of them.
Well done.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Now, of course, we are TalkSport and competitive gag-telling, effectively. Mm. Although they don't set out to be competitive, but the good people at the TV channel Dave do hand out an award every year for their funniest gag at the festival. And it gets an incredible amount of coverage. You've noticed that? It's basically the biggest story of the day. You cannot look anywhere without seeing the face of our next guest.
It's a certain type of gag. You know, obviously a one-liner that works in a newspaper, you know, obviously a lot of the stuff on the Fringe just wouldn't work.
You couldn't do. You know. That's right. You know, I mean, Jerry Sadowitz has never won it. The Fringe.
No, he funnily enough, he hasn't.
For example. Yeah. But we're very pleased to say the man who has is an occasional visitor of these studios. He was in very recently talking about his latest book, One Giant Leap for Mankind. It is Luton Town supporting Olaf Falafel. Olaf, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How's it going?
Well, congratulations, because we said
thank you so much.
This has to be good for business, this...
Definitely good for the falafel brand, yes, definitely.
So how does it work? When did you find out you're on the shortlist, or was it just a kind of message to say you'd won?
The people from Dave, they actually gave me an email saying that I'd won on last Tuesday, so it's been like 6 days I've been sat on the trophy. Not literally... That would be very difficult. But no, I've been sat on having to keep it secret for a while, and we had the nice photos taken with me and the plastic elephant. And yeah, I've finally been the embargo has been lifted, and I can talk about it. Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah, our newsreader attempted the gag.
Well, it's not the only. That's actually because this is the thing today, Olaf. It's interesting because it's been the and finally story on every news channel. Well, basically on Earth today, certainly in this country, and it has meant our own Anna Russell, who is with us every hour, and Jenny Barsby did it this morning. Meant they do your gag.
Brilliant.
We're going to bring you both versions now, because obviously they're not stand-up comedians.
No.
But have a listen.
They're good newsreaders.
Which one of these two, delivery-wise, do you prefer? Have a listen to these, Olaf.
And a joke about vegetables, ironically told by Swede Olaf Falafel, has been hailed the funniest at this year's Edinburgh Fringe. Are you ready? Here we go. I keep randomly shouting out broccoli and cauliflower. I think I have florets. A joke about vegetables has been named the funniest at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. A Swedish comedian, Olaf Falafel, took home the prize with I keep randomly shouting out broccoli and cauliflower. I think I might have florets.
I think Jenny sold it. The first one, she sold it.
Jenny did better. Yeah, the second one was just like a news item,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah. The second one might as well have been a lost cat.
We're going to have to workshop Anna, I think, really. She's going to have to sell it at 3
she
o'clock.
She has other strengths.
She does. I mean, she's not here to tell gags, although today, technically, she was. well, look, well done. I mean, I follow you on Twitter, and if anybody does, they'll know that you are a mine of this sort of material. So
it's all very stupid and very silly, and occasionally something funny comes up. Well, you have to sift through some stupidity to get the gold.
No,
it's a good gag.
On a serious note, this is great. Sort of from a notoriety point of view, not just for you as a stand-up, but as an author and everything, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's kind of, I've been telling people, it's kind of been on the cards, because 2 years ago I was ninth in the list. Mm. Last year I was third. And yeah, so the logical progression, I was either going to be second or first, and luckily I've gone and blooming well won it, so...
Yeah. Did you think
it's great for Sweden? Let's be honest.
It's tremendous.
Well, yeah, no,
I mean, it's for the whole of Scandinavia.
Street parties. They'll be dancing in the streets of Malmö tonight.
Absolutely.
Did you think this was the gag they would pick up? Did you think you had a chance? Did you think if you had a chance of winning, it would
be
this one?
To be honest with you, there's a joke that I like a bit more, but it's probably a bit more risky, which is it should be safe for radio. If you sneeze whilst you're having your prostate checked, your body resets to the factory default.
I like that. Yeah. That's good.
Well, that's good. That's one of my favourites in the show. But
maybe
they kind of
as family friendly though.
Not as family friendly.
Yeah.
But
depends on your family, of course.
Well, that's very true.
Well, my family like it.
So, let's have a quick one on Luton while we've got you, because you came in a fantastic vintage Luton top when we last saw you, when you were chatting about the book.
I've got my Luton badges on at the moment as we speak, because I've had a few interviews, so I want to represent, so I've got my Luton badges on. But yeah, to be honest with you, I'd give it all up for 3 points against Sheffield Wednesday and 3 against Barnsley. There you go.
It's very early days. I mean, they've got a point so far. They're towards the bottom, but it was always going to be a tricky start.
I think that the main thing is, from I caught the Middlesbrough game because that was on the TV, and I've listened to the second halves of both the other games because they're on when I'm performing. I actually have to go off and perform very soon. But from what it sounds like, we're actually playing quite good football. So I'm not too downhearted. I know Luton fans aren't. A few absolute idiots are, but don't worry, it's a blooming marathon, not a sprint. So, not downhearted.
Okay, good stuff.
Olaf, good to talk to you. We'll let you go and do your show. Congratulations, and we will
catch up with you soon. Thank you so much, guys. Speak to you again soon.
There we are. Olaf Falafel, the other winner of the best gag on the fringe.
There were some good other ones. My favourite was Richard, apart from that one, was Richard Paulsford, who said, I'm going to ruin it as well. After learning 6 hours of basic semaphore, I was flagging.
Yeah, you like that one, dude?
Well, yeah, it's quite funny.
That's I do like that. It's pretty good. Our own Ivo Graham, who was with the guys last week, he said, I've got my own Eton-themed advent calendar. When all the doors are open for... he said, no, sorry, where all the... I've completely killed. Completely
Shall
killed
I throw
it.
The pen down
I think
for
I'm going to have to get... Anna Russell's going to have to come in and help me with that one. Where all the doors are open for me by my dad's contacts. Sorry, Ivo. No one's now going to go and see him for the rest of the fringe. I've been off for a week. Give me a break.
Yes, of course.
I'm sorry, I have a cold.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
It's been Jacobs here on TalkSport. Now listen to this, Andy, you'll like this. This week you could win a golden ticket to the Grand Slam on the Sports Breakfast as Amazon Prime Video give you the chance to win an all-expenses-paid trip to the US Open Finals weekend in New York City.
Yeah.
The US Open...
I'd enjoy it as long as I didn't have to watch the tennis.
Okay, we'll park that. The US Open is the last Grand Slam of the year where the biggest names in tennis show off their hard-court skills and indeed Andy Murray's rear of the year, although he won't be there, will he? And you could be there thanks to TalkSport and Amazon Prime Video.
He's playing doubles, isn't he?
Oh, he is playing doubles, isn't he? Okay. Yeah. Official UK broadcast partner of the US Open where you can see live coverage from Monday, August the 26th. So join Big Alan from 6 a.m. on Wednesday morning for your chance to win the sporting holiday of a lifetime only on the Alan Brazil Sports Breakfast. And you're giving away, there's something about giving away a trip like that. You feel a little bit of nerves when you do those comps. I remember years ago, me, you and Jason Cundy went off to, I think it was the Stoop, didn't we?
Oh, yes.
And then we had to rugby kick for a chance to go and watch the Rugby World Cup.
Yeah, we had to kick conversions.
That's right, that's right. And for Jason had an off day.
He did.
The fact he scored from about 50 yards for Spurs against Ipswich. He had an off day. And we all kicked for a different competitor.
Yeah.
And somehow I won.
Tremendous.
But I felt this real pressure of this is the bloke's holiday of a lifetime we were playing for. It was amazing.
Same for the bloke that was with me. I don't think I even reached the goal. Anyway, great news from our friends at the Brussels Sprouts Marketing Board.
Great news, yeah.
They got in early while you were away, Paul.
Christmas related.
Britain could face a shortage of Brussels sprouts this Christmas after rains wrecked crops. And of course, every year it's become a tradition, isn't it? The sprout shortage.
Of course, it's a staple.
Normally, they don't really run it till December, which then causes you to rush out and buy a lot of sprouts, more than you need, just because you wouldn't like to be caught out on Christmas Day without sprouts.
Now, before my old mum broke her hip last week, I'd actually done some prep for the show.
Oh, yeah.
So can I bring you some week-old material?
Don't waste it.
I'm not wasting it, because I think it's still relevant. And it involves David Artell, the Crewe-Alexander manager. They had another win this weekend, so he was kind of quite relaxed about the whole thing. But last week, it looked as if Oldham could have equalised right? Mm. And he would have felt last week that was a terrible injustice.
Oh, yeah.
The level of injustice, though, shocked me somewhat. This is what David said. He said, it would have been up there with O.J. Simpson as one of the greatest miscarriages of justice ever. Not sure whether an Oldham Athletic equaliser against Crewe is quite in the same ballpark.
What's his name? David really. Artell?
David Artell.
Did they have a shot of him leaving the ground in a sort of cruiser and then like a helicopter above?
Yeah, that's right. They followed him. I just thought, yeah, not sure. Not sure that's a fair comparison, really. So there we are. Week-old news. And it's going marvellously well for Lincoln. And you know why?
Why?
Because Danny Cowley likes to pick up rubbish from the away dugout. That's what he did last week in week-old news. Let's bring you week-old news.
They had a good cup win in the week.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'm not doing that. I'm forgetting. That's not quite a week old. But this is week-old news.
All right.
But isn't it nice that he's got that kind of oriental thing going on that we saw with the Japanese women in the World Cup.
And the Japanese fans.
This is when Danny leaves a dugout. Every little bit of gum, all the tape, the whole lot, he clears it out.
I think it's good. My wife does the same thing. She walks around, you know,
picking up
other people's litter.
Does she really?
I know, she just
around the street?
I think it's very, you know, I like it. I admire her for doing it.
That's good. It is good,
I personally wouldn't, but she does.
Well, you walk around dropping it, don't you?
Well, no, it's not that. I just always think picking up other people's litter. It looks a bit, especially things people have eaten. You think, don't know, do you?
Can I bring some more recent news?
Oh, yeah, please do.
I tell you do your thing and I'll bring you some more recent news in a moment.
I like week-old news.
More from week-old news next week.
Once again, I've been tempted by a reader's offer in the papers today.
Of course
it's
the
half-price trouser, now £15. Extremely comfortable and well-cut trousers in a nice range of colours. I ordered two pairs first and then ordered more. They only do five colours. So you presume you ordered all of them.
Yeah.
And some of the colours are quite similar, so you probably would go with the same thing. So that's a waste of time, even at £15.
The Swindon Town manager, Richie Wellens, has made I don't think he's going to be able to live up to this. This is not week-old news.
Have you been reading those things in The Star?
I always read them.
Sort of match reports that are just the manager's
quote. I forensically pour over the tabloid reports of all the matches. This is where you get
Boss Watch, we used to call
this.
This
is where you get this gold, Andy. Richie basically said, at one point in the game, he said, I had stomachache second half and needed a wee. It doesn't normally give you a stomachache. Maybe he's being diplomatic.
He didn't want to give you too much information.
I think he knew what he meant.
He
said, I heard a big cheer and thought we had scored, so I raced back only to see the Exeter players celebrating. It's probably best I don't go to the toilet again. I'm thinking, it's probably not, is it? I mean, you'll die. Eventually, you'll die, Richie, so don't be doing that.
That's not good. Now, a cricket club has basically, not my words, very tabloid, has hit its leather balls for six by going vegan.
Vegan ball.
Early Cricket Club in Reading are the first to use animal-free rubber balls. We may speak to them about this, but I was thinking they're definitely early adopters.
That's
a modern term, isn't it?
That's gold, that is, Andy.
Well,
that's
gold.
That's brilliant.
It's the dullest race of the year tonight at Windsor. The Rita Ora live at Windsor Novice Stakes, the 7:30.
Is it really?
Oh, it's going to be a very dull race, that. With lots of pictures of the winner on holiday in a bathing suit.
Well, it's a horse. It seems unlikely that that's the case.
It does seem unlikely.
Do you know, we talked on the show the other week about facial recognition at Manchester City. They're piloting a scheme there. And initially we're saying, if people have got banning orders, it's going to be used for that. It's also going to be used in a way that allow you get into the ground quicker. So you rock up at the bridge or I rock up at the lane and we haven't got to worry about showing our ticket because it reads our faces. It knows we've got a ticket because it knows what we look like.
That's good.
The only downside of that, of course, is that people often, with their season tickets, they'll share a season ticket, they'll pass it on to a friend or a relative, won't they? And they've made them, it's going to be quite difficult to do that, of course.
I noticed that I got my season ticket out yesterday to go to the game.
Yeah.
And I'm in the fortunate position now where I get a concession.
Yeah, of course you do.
And so last year, both tickets looked the same.
Yeah.
So if I wasn't there, I could give my ticket to somebody else and it'll be fine. But they've wised up to that, and they've been quite cleverly.
So, wait, I mean, I think you're openly admitting to pulling a bit of a Moody there.
Well,
Andy.
I only did it once. To be honest, I only did it once, and...
Cue the phone call from the ticket office.
And I did say to the person doing it, look, you may not get in, but, you know...
Just hunch your back slightly and walk with a stick.
This year, they've made the ticket green. So
I think that's a good idea.
It is
green
idea.
Is the colour.
And it really does stick out. So, if my son does want to take any of his friends, they're all going to have to wear prosthetic makeup. It's going to be like undercover boss.
Yeah, could be like Bad Grandpa. You have to go in like that, all the kids. Yeah, like Johnny Knoxville. Anyway, there we are. I'll have more week-old news for you, hopefully, next week. I'll keep one back. Maybe the one I'll keep back is Tony Pulis was at Napoleon's birthday party. You aware of this?
Was he? What does that mean?
No, Tony Pulis. I'll bring you that later. There's a tease. Stay with us. Coming up, Tony Pulis at... Napoleon. He had his 250th birthday party at the weekend.
And Tony Pulis was there.
And Tony Pulis was there. Tony went along.
Okay.
You don't believe me, do you?
Well, he's obviously got some very great interest in the former military expert.
Well, you felt you couldn't say Napoleon again.
Yeah, exactly.
The diminutive Frenchman.
Gone very tabloid.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Did you see a picture of B.Y. Abdullah today? He's 25 and he is a Cristiano Ronaldo lookalike. I'm thinking, not sure.
Oh, God. He does look like him. I'll tell you what he looks like him. I only cut half the picture because I was trying to save a bit of space. So when you see him on his own without the real Cristiano.
But if you didn't see him standing in a Juve shirt, would you think, he looks like Cristiano? If a bloke was in, if he was on the bins, for example.
It just annoys me. I mean, don't buy the shirt. You're not him. You're just a bloke who looks like him.
But Andy, if you looked...
That Mo Salah lookalike really annoyed me in the World Cup last year.
I'm trying to think. Let's think of something extreme that somebody comes along. They say they do... say somebody's on Clarkson and wins £1 million, right? And they get notoriety because they've won £1 million on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, for example, right? And that person looks like you. And that person, let's call him Fred Smith. Fred Smith wins £1 million. He gets a bit of notoriety. Mm. He becomes the first person of a certain age to go into Love Island. Somehow, through force of personality, he wins that. He becomes a big star in this country.
Yeah.
And people start stopping you in the street and they say, blimey, you enough look like that Fred Smith off of Love Island and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
I would not ring up Susan Scott.
Susan Scott lookalike say... Do you want to come along, Andy? Fred's busy, obviously, at the top end.
I'm so not.
Do you want to open
that.
A couple of fates?
No.
It's a grand a pop.
I don't care what a pop it
just,
is. I'm not
just
doing it.
Grand a pop, shake hands with a few people just for looking like the notorious Fred Smith. You wouldn't do it?
No. I wouldn't.
You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't be a professional lookalike if you looked like somebody
it's
famous.
It's a terrible thing to be. It really is. It is. I remember he was a nice guy. The guy that used to be, as Andy Harmer, used to be David Beckham. But I used to look at him and think, this is pathetic in a way.
Oh, how Andy?
Well, you're not David Beckham,
are
you?
Well, no, he's not pretending to be. He's just,
well, he is. That's exactly what he's doing. I'm sorry, but that's...
Not to the extent that he...
Well, I don't know. Every time Bex changed his hair...
When Bex...
Andy changed his hair,
He doesn't turn up at Victoria's place. He hasn't got a key. he doesn't sort of...
No, I'm not accusing...
Hello, Dad.
He's not passing himself off.
Doesn't call Ted Dad, does he?
No. He's not... He's not doing that, but, obviously, well, look, anyway.
Grand a pop, Andy.
They're not
you
doing
and Fred
harm.
Smith.
I'm not being Fred
I can get
Smith.
You all this work for a bloke that... Honestly, Andy, I can get this work lined up for you. Should Fred Smith, the lookalike, ever win Love Island and who wants to be a millionaire?
Seems unlikely.
Anyway, it seems unlikely. It's Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. And he wouldn't do it, though. He is a man of principle. It's hard to believe. But when it comes to that, he would not be a professional lookalike. So forget that if you're looking to offer him work. Just very quickly, Tony Pulis was a guest of honour. One of the guests of honour.
Oh, yeah. Guest of honour.
Wow. Island of Corsica, to celebrate 250th birthday of Napoleon Bonaparte.
Oh, actually in Corsica, wasn't it?
Yeah. Le Monde invited him, the French newspaper.
Not Greg Le Monde.
No, not Greg Le Monde.
The cyclist.
It's all getting very confusing. Another short man. The French newspaper, after a correspondent read of...
I'm not going out as a Napoleon. Napoleon looking like...
You'd go out as a Napoleon. You'd be great as a Napoleon. Shave the beard off. put that hat
get
on.
Get that hat.
It'd be great, yeah.
I can see myself doing that.
So, yeah, yeah. This is Martin Ziegler's new column in the Times at the weekend. He off he went to Corsica. He's really interested in, like a lot of football managers are, Martin O'Neill's has got this obsession with Kennedy.
I don't think they invited him for his fine play with Stoke and West Brom.
That's right, yeah.
I had a feeling that he'd have an interest in it.
But, you know, if you look at quite a lot of... if you look at quite a lot of the battles that Napoleon was involved with, they did like to block off from the corners.
Did they?
Yeah, and they're very, very similar. So if you were suddenly, you were being charged by, and then suddenly Danny Higginbottom would just sort of step in. And cannons, they didn't fire them from cannons. The equivalent of Rory Dillat would just launch them in, yeah.
Get
the idea with that.
David
anyway.
Trebuchet.
He was introduced
that's quite clever if you think about it.
David Trebuchet is very good. Thinking, yeah. He was introduced to a descendant of Napoleon's, was Tony. He thought it was Bojan, I would imagine. And the thing was...
Was he a short bloke?
No, he wasn't. No, the guy was 6 foot six.
Well, that's ridiculous.
So something's happened. That's a bit of an odd, who
family.
Do you think you are? That would be, yeah, 6 foot six. So Tony said, what are you like in the ear? Yeah.
For his next job.
Chris Bonaparte, his name is. No, it's not. It's obviously Bonaparte.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show, you know. So next time you look at Tony Pulis, you're going to see him in that outfit with the old hand inside the coat.
I already see him.
He'd be
like
a good
that.
Napoleon, wouldn't he?
He would, yeah.
Okay, thanks for downloading us. We will catch up with you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.